of Jesus. And Father, you know the world we live in. There is sickness and pain and suffering and heartache. And we know that sin has ravaged our world for hundreds of years now. And we know that it is difficult, and you know that. You know each of us. And Lord, from the very youngest, like baby Jace, to the very eldest, all of these we lift up to you in prayer. I could go through the list. It's so long. But Debbie Lovin, Mike Hicks, Joyce Barnhill, Celeste Goins, Daryl Bunning, Delisa, my brother David Atwell, who had prostate cancer. Brother John Taylor with his heart. Tommy Paris, cancer. Lord, the list is so long. Brigida, Dwayne, Diane, Dwayne and Diane, lift them up to you. Goss, Ray Kelly, Brigida Austin, my wife, little Hazel, recovering from surgery. Lord, they're just a lineage of people. All these that's been mentioned this morning, Debbie Hunt, Lord, Jackie Clayford and Teresa. We pray for all of them. We pray, Lord, if it be your will, you heal their bodies, give them comfort, grace. But most of all, we pray for their highest good and for your glory. We pray that you might give them grace upon grace upon grace for each day. And Lord, you might walk them through it with your love and grace and comfort. We thank you that there's going to be a great getting up together day when we'll not have prayer lists like this. Lord, we're thankful that you've risen from the dead. You are a risen Savior. And one day we too shall live with you in heaven. So we give you glory, praise, and honor because of who you are and what you've done for all of us. But we lift these up and pray for their highest good and for your glory. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Of course, we didn't have Sunday school last Sunday with the homecoming. And someone said I preached long enough for both of them, so it really didn't matter. But I got I saw Daphne Goss in Linwood because she works over there. She sells cars and Jeeps and trucks and stuff over there. And talking to Daphne, checking on Dwayne, Diane. She said all three of them sat over at their house and watched me last Sunday. And Dwayne said, I think the older he gets, the longer he preaches. And so I don't really know if that was a compliment or not. But anyway, we didn't have Sunday school. And then the Sunday before that, I know we didn't have Sunday night service last week. So I'm going to catch you up a little bit on this and then go on from where we are. And I want to finish this morning to get to into chapter 2 the next time. I'm in chapter 1, verse 16, where Peter writes, and if this was so important for those in that day, that what he's writing right now to these churches that are scattered throughout the five provinces of Asia, if this was so important then, how much more important is it for us today? Because then they had Peter that was speaking to them personally, who had had hands-on experiences with Christ, who had even seen the transformation on the Mount of Transfiguration, had personal experience in seeing and walking with Christ himself. Of course, we don't have that today. I'm old, but I'm not that old. And so we don't have anybody that's actually an apostle that's walked with Christ, that has seen the miracles that he's done and all of the things that they experienced back then. That is called an experiential revelation. What we do have, and what Peter's writing about here, is that he's trying to get them to see that you have a supernatural revelation. in the Word of God. And that supernatural revelation that has been given to you is more sure than even the experiential revelation that he had. Because as we mentioned before, you can have different kinds of experiences, but there's only one true Word of God. And it is a supernatural Word of God, as we study through this, that has been given us without error or without fatality. And so that's what he is stressing to them, because he knows he's not always going to be there, but he knows the Word of God will endure forever. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament that is coming now. And so as we read about this, this is all stressing that as we see it. In the verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now that is an experience that he's writing about. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, even on the Mount of Transfiguration. Eyewitness experience, if you will, that he's talking about. He said, verse 17, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from majesty glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So this is his experience, his experiential revelation, and eyewitness revelation. And now that's what he said. Now he turns in verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain or sure. Okay, so what's he saying here? I give you my eyewitness revelation. I give you what I've seen, what I've heard, what I have experienced in my life in Christ. I've seen him crucified. I've seen him die. I've seen him raised from the dead. I've talked to him after he was raised from the dead. I have spent time with him. I have seen him transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. But now I want to tell you, you have a more sure word than even mine. And that's what he's doing right here. When you get to verse 19, we have the word of the prophets made more sure or certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the dark place. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Let me give you some comparison here. If you go back to the original language and you see exactly what he's trying to get across here. You've got a light on you. If you've got a cell phone, you've probably got, if it's a smartphone, you've got a flashlight on your cell phone, right? Well, that flashlight on your cell phone, it will light your way. You can see to get around. You can see where you're going. You can find your way. Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, you have a light, the Word of God, that is in your world now. Now that light is like, for our day and time, let's say that light is like a cell phone light. It'll light up the darkness. It will show you the way. It will illuminate what you need to see. All these things it will do. Now he's saying that's what the Word of God is like. That's what you have now. That's what you have now. This is what it is. But now he flips it. And notice what he says. He says, pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. Until what? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, when he says, until the new day dawns, that's very important. Have you ever pulled your sunglasses on about 12 noon in the day and looked directly up into the sun on a cloudless day, you can't do it. It is so overpowering. It is so brilliant. When he says the day dawns, he's talking about when Jesus Christ comes again, as is described in Revelation, he will shine brighter than the sun. And in Scripture, he is even called that in Scripture as well. The day dawns or the morning sun. And this is the true light that will come into the world and light the world. And this is what he's talking about. He's saying you've got a sure light. You've got a sure light in the Word of God. And by it you can find your way. And it will lead you to Christ. And you can take that sure word from God and you can go through this life with that and know it is for certain and it is sure. But you need that until what? The day dawns. When the day dawns, now notice what else he say, and the morning star rises. Boom. You have not seen light until you see the day dawn and the morning star rises. Talking about Christ. And that's what we see in the Scripture here. The Scripture says that he's coming in blazing glory. In blazing glory. And there is a word here that the morning star. That morning star, if you see what it really meant in the original language, it's where we get our word phosphorus from. It's where we get our word phosphorus from. That shines in the darkness. It means this. Oh, this is good. Light bringer. Light bringer. So what is Peter saying to them? You have a sure light. It can guide your path. It can lead you to Christ. It can reveal the truths of God. But you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till the real thing gets here. Wait till the day dawns and the light bringer comes. That's pretty awesome. Just wait until the light bringer comes. And throughout Scripture, he is called the morning star. He is called the morning star. And actually the planet Venus is named after the same thing, the light bringer. That was the name of the planet Venus. And MacArthur writes and he says, I can't see any difference here between the morning star who is Christ and the dawning of the full-blown sun who is Christ. Christ is called in Scripture both a star and sun. In Numbers 24:17 says, they shall come a star out of Jacob. They shall come a star out of Jacob. Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Way back in the Pentateuch, it said Messiah would be a star. So we have both Old and New Testament. And then we have Peter writing here in the 19th verse about the same thing. The morning star will rise in your hearts when the new day dawns. So it is pointing to something that is happening, going to happen, when Christ comes again. What does it mean when he rises, the morning star rises in your heart? This is really good. If there has ever been any doubt in your life at any time, according to the inerrancy and the reality of Scripture, when you see the morning star rise, all doubt will be erased from your heart. Are you with me? Satan likes to sow doubt in us, especially when we're going through trials in our life. Peter knows this. They're going through trials. They're going through tribulation. But he's saying, when you see the day dawn and the morning star rise, what's going to happen? It's going to take any doubts out of your hearts that you've ever had. The morning star rises. This is what he's talking about here. If you look at the language of it, it says, the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In your hearts. And then he goes on to say, above all, you must, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. And that's in word interpretation is not a truly accurate word there. Because it means one thing to us, it means something to them. When we talk about interpretation, we're saying, well, you interpret Scripture one way, I interpret Scripture another way, and somebody else might interpret Scripture another way. That's not what he's talking about. He is saying that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own doing. By the prophet's own doing. This is what he's trying to get across to them. We didn't just sit down one day and say, oh, I think I'll write Scripture. It is divine, supernatural revelation from God to man through the prophets. And that's what Peter's trying to get across here, that they might understand that. That's why he said it's a more sure word, a more certain word than even you have from the prophets. This is what he's trying to get across, what he's trying to say to them here. And so that's what we see. And Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophet who are prophesying to you. They're leading you into futility. They speak of a vision. Now he's talking about false prophets. They speak of a vision of their own imagination. Of their own imagination. Well, that's the very thing Peter's contradicting here according to true prophets. He said this was not of their own doing, of their own imagination. Okay? That's what he's trying to get across. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21, he says, I didn't send these prophets, more or less. They ran. They didn't speak to them. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. This is what he said. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned their back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Okay. Now then you go on down to verse 25 of Jeremiah 23. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesied falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets, of the deception of their own heart? And so God writes very clearly about two kinds of prophets. There are true prophets who simply write from the word of the Lord came upon me, or thus saith the Lord, and they are true prophets. It did not come, it did not originate within them. It is not something that they dreamed about and wrote up. He is saying the true prophets only speak what I say. So you have a true word from God spoken through a prophet to you, as they did to the church in that day as well. This is the point he's trying to get across. Ezekiel 13:3, God says, "Woe to the foolish prophets," listen to this, "who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." Woe to the foolish prophets who are following what? Their own spirit and have seen nothing. So over and over again, God re-verifies what Peter is saying here. And so that is very important. So what's he saying? The writers of Scripture speak for God. That's what he's saying in verse 20, as we see that here. Verse 21, "For prophecy never had its origin," here it is, "in the will of man." It never came from man. That's what he's saying. The words that the prophets spoke did not come from man. It didn't have its origin from man. But from where? From God. It had its origin from God. Okay, that's what he's trying to say here. MacArthur says, first of all, this is the bottom line. Point number one, basic lesson. If you're going to be confident about Scripture, if you're going to be certain about Scripture, the first thing you have to know is this, that no prophecy of Scripture came from man. It came from God. It came from God. That's what he's trying to get around here. And that word origin means comes into being. Comes into being. There is no prophecy that came into being from a prophet. It did not come into being from a prophet. That's really important that we understand that. Anybody got a question while we're going through? You say, "Well, why are you hammering this?" Because this is what you got. This is it. This is what you got, and you must nail this down or you don't have anything. If you don't understand that this is a word from God that is without error and fault, then you don't have anything. All you got is a book with a bunch of pages written in it that doesn't mean squat to you. You have to understand that when this book speaks, God speaks. And God is speaking to you through His divine supernatural word. That is a more sure word than even the eyewitnesses gave that walked with Jesus Christ. That's the whole point Peter's trying to get across here. And that's why it should be handled that way, understood that way, and believed that way, and acted upon that way. There's nothing in this book that is not absolutely 100% truth and absolutely 100% from God Himself. And that's something that so many people just cannot understand or accept. And so this is why he's going through all of this, especially with these churches and these people that are in trials right now. When you go through a trial, let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. When you go through a trial, do you know what you need more than anything else in the world? You need a word from God. And know it's from God more than anything else in the world. Because I can nail that to the wall and I can say, "This is thus saith the Lord." And I know this to be true above anything else in my life. No matter what thought crosses my mind, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what difficulty I face, no matter what it is, I know this is the true divine revelation of Almighty God, and I never have to doubt it. And that is so important in your Christian life. What good does it do to call pastor? What good does it do to call pastor that preaches sincerely, thus saith the Lord, if you don't understand that when he opens it up, he reads from it and he preaches from it, it is God speaking to you? You might as well go out here and buy you a novel or something else and read it and make up your own mind what you think you ought to do. So that's why it is so tremendously important that we not only hear it and believe it, but we actually take hold of it in our lives. And when I pick this book up and I read it, it is God speaking to me. And I understand that above everything else in my life. Because there were people all around you that will sow doubts, that will give you false words, that will try to lead you astray, that will tell you you don't know what you believe. It will come. It always does. It comes through the media. It comes through Facebook. It comes through every social media you can think of. It comes from even some of your friends. It will come from where you work. It will come from every side around you. That's why you have to nail this down in your life. Or if you don't have this, you don't have anything. That's what you got to understand. Now, I quit preaching. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That word means God, by His divine Spirit, moved them to write the very words of God. God moved them by His Spirit to write the very words of God. That's what you have today. And that's what Peter is stressing. And that's what he's trying to get across today. That's why you must understand that the Word of God, there is nothing else in this world that compares to what you have in the Bible, in the Word of Almighty God. There's nothing more crucial to you. There's nothing that can help you like this can, because it is the very Word of God to you. Amen? Anybody got a question? I know we went over this 2 or 3 times, but I can't hammer it home any more than it needs to be, because this is where everything is. This is where everything is. When I teach, I don't teach what I think. I teach what the Scripture says. When Nate preaches or teaches, he's not sharing with you what he thinks might be right. He is giving you the very Word of God. The only thing that can change a person's life, get them to heaven, and get them through this life right here, knowing that we have a risen Savior and a God that is going to make everything right one day. And believe me, the longer I live in this world, the more I long for that day when everything is made right. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. You think the climate's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. This is just a preview. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the gracious gift of your word, that you would reach out to us through your Son, through your prophets, and through your word, that we might have a sure word from God, that we might know in the very heart of hearts that we've been born again through the work of the Holy Spirit by the grace of an Almighty God, looking forward to a resurrection day when all things shall be made right. And even after that, when we look forward to new heavens and a new earth, that we will dwell with you throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. It not only helps us here and now, but we cannot wait to see what it will be like then. We live in expectation of the coming of the day dawning and the rise of the morning star, when every doubt will be swept away and the glory of God will be real in our eyes